This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And Georgia is in. So I think this scenario could hold true. Texas A&M could win the game that sends them to the SEC championship game at 9-3. I think that they don't want to punish teams for making the SEC championship game, but if 9-3 A&M gets in and loses the SEC championship game, I can see where that would give another spot to somebody that's behind him, because I don't think that they're going to put in 9-4 Texas A&M.
Okay, so that's interesting. So even if Texas lose, A&M will still be in front of like Alabama.
And then Texas winds up in this weird spot where even though they're 10-2, they're 10-2 and their best win is like Vanderbilt. And so you wind up with these other teams that maybe have one additional loss, but they have better wins. And so if you're Ole Miss and you're sitting there, okay, well, we beat Georgia, and let's say South Carolina beats Clemson, well, that's another 9-3 team that you've beaten on the road, and you beat them handedly. We've also seen that this committee can't give up on Alabama. Does that bring them back in it? Like, I don't know. So that's where we were with another chaotic week. Been a good another 4 minutes for Memphis basketball. They lead 52-48. We will take a break. We'll get into the list. When we come back, we'll talk about where Memphis is. We'll live react as we've got the final 12 minutes out in Maui with the Tigers leading UConn 52-48. We'll do that on the list next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, welcome you back to Jeffrey Wright & Company. I am Jeffrey Wright. Sitting in with me as he does each and every Monday is Coach Norton Hurd. He, of course, the head of Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. Right now, the Tigers taking on UConn. Game number one of the Maui Invitational with 9:32 left, Heard. The Memphis Tigers lead the two-time defending national champions 59-58. Right now, Tyrese Hunter leading the Tigers in scoring. He's got 17 points, 6 of 11 from the field, including 5 of 8 from 3. However, we also have Terrace Reed Jr. leading all scorers so far. He's got 18 points. Tigers currently with the basketball. I believe they went into the lane and got a foul. So that's where we are currently standing at 59-58. I guess let's just kind of get your in-game reaction. I mean, we talked about it. Clearly the best first half we've seen the Tigers play so far. And to me, I mean, all you've really seen through 30 minutes of basketball is an even basketball game. Like, to me, I don't think either team has had a lead bigger than six. So the Tigers' biggest lead was 6 points, and that was at 20-14 with 10.5 left in the first half, whereas UConn got a 5-point lead with 5 minutes left in the half. But basically, this whole game has been played within 6 points either direction. Tigers so far have led for 18-34. UConn's only led for 3-23, but the game has been tied for 8 minutes 45 seconds. All I keep seeing when you just look at it from the numbers is this is just an even basketball game.
Man, it has been a well-played game. I know college is in halves, but as you said, 30 minutes, so I'm going to take it a step further. Yeah. I know winning ain't the key yet, but this has been the best three quarters
yes.
of their time.
I kind of wish college would go to – I like the 10-minute quarters that we see in the women's game.
You know, college basketball is the only one that don't do it.
And I think they experimented with it during an NIT maybe, but I think the game has a little bit better flow.
They need to do it. They don't, I mean, the coaches do want to go to that because I didn't realize that the girls did, and they was talking about it the last – I'd have been around some of them. Like, we're the only ones in middle school, high school, girls, college, NBA that don't do it. So I think just like Memphis just stopped them right there – 2-3 more stops, and we score. It's going to put a lot of pressure on you. Right now, Ben, we've been scoring, and then we'll have one a good defense, but, like, they'll get the offensive rebound. So it's a kind of in that weird tight spot that the last 3 minutes I've been watching, it's been between tied and 2-3-point leads. It hadn't got past that. As soon as I think it break away to a 7-9-point lead, I think whoever does that first is going to have it.
So right now, the Tigers shooting 58% from the field. They're 22 of 38. They're also 8 of 16 from 3, 50% there. UConn, meanwhile, 22 of 50 from the floor. That's 44%. They are 8 of 20 from 3 for 40%. Tigers, 13 of 19 from the free throw line. The Huskies are 6 of 9. And I believe we just had yet again another big three, and it's a 4-point play opportunity as the foul will be on, they called on Mahaney? I think they did. They called it on, I'm familiar with Mahaney's game. He's a West Coast Conference kid. He played at St. Mary's. That's a tough one where local kid from St. Mary's, they get him for 2 years, and like that's the world of the portal. Like, hey, he just goes to UConn.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeffrey, you like I always tell you, you do so good with them stats. And it was some exciting when he hit the four. First of all, it had been 2-and-1s that they called back. Oh, that was the turnover, Jeff. Yeah. Jeff, after that one, I think it would have got tight. Look how calm Penny. You know on the inside.
Oh,
he can't wait till he get to zero.
He's chewing his fingernails, everything. So right now, currently, the Tigers with their biggest lead of the game so far. They lead 65-58. They have hit their last six shots from the field. They are on a little 6-0 run, and currently they will send UConn to the line trailing by 7, and we have Stewart at the line. First one up and no good. Front end of a 1-and-1, but we had a foul called by – is it going the other way?
Yeah, it's not a foul. They hit it out of bounds, it looked
okay.
like.
So I thought I saw a fist, and so calling a foul, but they're saying just – out of bounds. So Memphis will have the basketball up 65-58. So they are up 7 with 8.5 left. And Herd, they're pretty close to the situation you just talked about. Who can get that first double-digit lead? Who can make that big push here in the second half? And right now, it has largely just been all of the Tigers because they've hit their last six shots. And now they have the basketball with an opportunity to make this a two-possession game. And we've got Hunter dribbling up front, pulling up from the logo.
Oh, we win it. We win it. When he hitting steal carry shot, I'm sorry, Jill.
That's the Maui soft rims, baby. I know that this isn't there's no way you can prove this. I'm just convinced basketball goals that come down from the rafters, softer rims.
Sure.
Always believe that. Can't prove it. So Hunter makes another three. He now has 26 points in the contest. 26 points in 27 minutes. 8 of 13 from the field, including 7 of 10 from threes, also 3 of 5 from the line, also has 2 assists to go over it. So currently the Tigers on an 11-1 run. That's a 9-0 run over the last minute and 9 seconds. UConn hasn't scored in over 2.5 minutes, while Memphis has hit their last 7 shots. We go to a media timeout with the Tigers leading 68-58 with 8:09. So we will obviously keep you up to date on everything going out in Maui, as now the Tigers are about 8 minutes away from picking up a massive, massive win out in the Maui Invitational. But before we do any of that, let's get into the list. Saquon Barkley. All right, Herd, I think we got a little bit of a developing situation. So I am not defending the way that MVP voting works, because I don't actually think it's all that good. Typically, what you can always see is that MVP voting will largely come down to who is the quarterback of the number one seed. It's basically gone like that for the last 10 to 15 years. But now we are in a situation where it does feel like the push is getting louder, and he's going to have perhaps the numbers to back it up. Saquon Barkley ran all over the Rams last night, 26 carries for 255 yards, including a 72-yarder. He had 2 touchdowns. He averaged 9.8 yards per attempt. But the conversation is now getting loud and heard. I ask you, as someone who has watched Christian McCaffrey for the last couple of years, does Saquon deserve to be the MVP?
How many weeks is left?
So we are, this is the conclusion of week 12. We have 6 weeks of football left of the NFL before, theoretically, a regular season award gets handed out.
If he play like he's playing now, he's definitely. I feel like he's a top two guy. Don't do position. Let's just give it Heisman, whether it's the MVP. Of course, quarterbacks go always have an edge. But let's just start giving it to the best players as one. Jeff, I know you didn't ask me this for this.
No, but go, you take it anywhere you want to go, buddy.
You know where I'm finna go with this. I know running backs down. This guy, a year or two ago, we were saying we don't even know if we should pay him. This guy should be a very highly paid NFL guy. He been putting his heart and soul. And for the Giants, and I'm sorry about this.
Oh, no,
Jeff,
it's Daniel Jones
and give him a chance. I get where we got to put value in quarterbacks and not even really – give him he had to go back and forth. He was the best player, heart and soul. I think it's crazy. But back to your point, yes, I think he's in the talk.
And there's some unfortunate reality. It's like when Daniel comes up for his contract extension, even though that team that made the playoffs was largely just Saquon being incredible, that, you know, Saquon's not due, and then you do pay your quarterback. And, like, that's just kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. All right, so in terms of pure numbers this season, 223 carries, that leads the NFL for 1,392 yards, also first in the NFL. In terms of yards per rush, he's at 6.2. Let's do eligible carriers, because right now it's showing him as like 42nd, but I think a lot of times that ends up being guys that get too few carries don't count. So if we do it based on 100 carries, which I think is a fair number, his 6.2 is first of eligible rushers. His yards before contact is 2.76. That's first in the NFL. So you also got to give some credit to the Eagles offensive line, because he's not even getting touched for 3 yards. But he's still sixth in the league in yards after contact. First downs per rush, he is third in the league. And he's also rushing against 8-man boxes, the third most. So it's not just, okay, he's running in favorable looks. He's running the football when everybody knows he's getting the football, and he's been the best player. I do wonder, though, if it's also – I wonder if Josh Allen's going to get Peyton Manning tier. Because when you talk about the Heisman, Peyton in 1997 runs up into a situation where the voting electorate – was largely kind of bored with quarterbacks. And Charles Woodson, exciting new player, and had the two-way stuff that worked. And so all of a sudden, has a big game. Peyton doesn't beat Florida. And all of a sudden, that opens the door. I do wonder if Josh Allen, who it feels like is up for kind of his MVP if he winds up getting Peyton Manning in this one.
I can see that. I can even see that happening with my boy Cam Ward right
yeah.
now. Because I feel like...
Well, Cam's in the unfortunate reality of, like, he's been the Heisman favorite for too long. And now, I do think, though, I do wonder how much Colorado losing this weekend opens it back up. Because Cam did this thing where he was the favorite for so long, but then Colorado started winning enough games where everyone's like, all right, let's give it to Travis Hunter. He's the best player in college football. We haven't seen anything. It's almost like that Colorado loss opens the back door up for Cam because Cam has just been consistent all year.
No, I agree, but something else happened during that loss, though, where Travis Hunter still broke history by having another touchdown or something on one side of the ball and playing so many snaps on the other. So I feel like the last 3 weeks been about him and the running back from Boise State.
Ashton Gentry.
I ain't gonna lie, unpopular. He's like number one in every offensive category running back in like the last 20 years. And so I agree with you. I think it's the same thing happening in the NFL with a guy like Josh Allen has played his butt off. This sounds crazy, though. I would love to see where everything Saquon been through for him to get it, though. And just running, I think it would mean something like how much this game right here is going to mean for Memphis. I think for the position, because they do all that hard work, and then it got to the point now that we got to pay corners, wide receivers, and quarterbacks so much that we'll just use 3-4 okay running backs and not pay them. And some people are good at their craft, and he's one of them that deserves to get a big paycheck.
Yeah, it's obviously just been tough because watching Saquon leave the Giants, it's like, okay, you didn't pay him, but did you really have to go to the Eagles? They're 30, and it's like, I acknowledge when you don't give him the contract, you open up that door. Yeah. But there's also no denying, like, he's been incredible this year.
You know what's funny about the NFL, though? Because I know you're deep into it. I feel like NFL owners, they try to set a, outside of the Browns that then listen to them.
Yeah.
They try to set a stock
general acting principles.
Yeah, amount on certain people when they wanted to go their way. This, when you say he went to the Eagles, you know he didn't have that many people that was sought after.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. Think about this. 2 years ago, they were saying nobody was up to talk to Lamar Jackson. It still blows my mind now when you talk to
I will say, in the fairness of the Lamar one's a little different. Where Lamar made his mistake, I am fine if you enter the draft and you say, I don't want to have an agent. Because the draft, you have slot values. Mm-hmm. You're basically going to make the same amount of money just based on where you get drafted. But where Lamar put himself in a bad spot was he continued to not have an agent. And so when he came up for that deal, you don't really have someone that's going to get the deal done operating on your behalf. And now Lamar has an agent.
Yeah, but he didn't have one when the deal was done.
No.
But that's the little pushback, too, because even the agents was hating on it because they was like, when he gets this big deal without them, it's going to look like more people can do it. So I still think that's unfair, Jeff. If we want to get this, you know, of course we can't do it in the studio, and I'm crying a wolf. But if we want to get this world, as some people want it, fair and things of that nature, if he got the stats, it should not been nobody. They made it feel like he was pressured to take less. He couldn't take his more money than whoever else came up, and he was better. Now you do an interview a year later. He wins MVP again right last year. And you do an interview with every coach. Oh, we scheduled Lamar. He's the best. Well, why wouldn't half of y'all don't have good quarterbacks? Man, you go back and forth on here. It's only by 10.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the owners that were cool with Baltimore trying to.
No. Well, yeah, you got to also remember what happened that summer. That summer was the Deshaun Watson deal.
Yeah.
And so Lamar's sitting here, and rightfully so, thinking, you're going to give him $280 million guaranteed? I'm better than him. And so all of a sudden, it's like the price became a guaranteed deal. But what it does go back to your owner's point is because the Browns operated outside of the code, if you will, it was like, all right, we're not going to allow another guaranteed contract. If Lamar gets a guaranteed contract, then the baseline will be we're all going to have to pay a guaranteed contract. That is where I'm 100% in agreement.
Because they didn't even want to give him what they gave the guy from Arizona. And it was like, come on now. The Falcons needed a quarterback. They said they was out. You remember?
Yep.
No, this is another thing. that people say they were doing. It's okay to say you out, but it was 2-3 days later, teams were personally, they were like, when have we ever heard teams go out their way to personally say they're out or they're not in on the Lamar? Jack, I'm going to be real with you. If I'm the Browns, I already threw my money away. These are billionaires. I signed Deshaun. I mean, I signed Lamar for $300 guaranteed. You get what I'm saying at this point?
No, I would much rather pay Lamar guaranteed than Deshaun Watson.
No, I'm saying
that,
why
yeah.
he's on the roster.
Shoot, yeah. Oh, God. The Deshaun one. Deshaun also got so much mileage out of the COVID season. Like, when you actually watched Deshaun with the Texans, it was a lot of empty stats. But he got so much mileage from that COVID season where everyone was bad at defense because nobody practiced defense, that it just inflated his numbers, and it also inflated everybody's perspective. All right, we got a big one coming down the stretch. Tigers currently leading 72-60. We got 6 minutes and 10 seconds left. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to watch along and see if the Tigers can get their biggest win under Penny Hardaway, as we're dubbing it, out in Maui. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We head to the final media timeout. 3:18 to play. The Memphis Tigers lead the 2-time defending national champions, UConn Huskies, 77-67.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we just had a big moment in the game, Herd, because Terrace Reed Jr., transfer from Michigan, he has now fouled out. He was UConn's leading scorer. He has now fouled out. He finishes with 22 points, including 10 of 13 from the field, but he has fouled out. And then also that will mean that the Tigers are headed to the line. So with 3:18 remaining, the Tigers lead 77-67. They've outscored UConn 37-27 here in the second half. And the Tigers are 3:18 away from picking up. I agree with you now. Like, the more you think about it, this could be the biggest win of Penny Hardaway's tenure. It's certainly the biggest regular season win. If we want to parse through tournament wins and whatnot, I can grant you that if we want to look at it differently. But what are you saying in the huddle here with 3:18 left?
With 3:18, what I'm saying in the huddle is,
let's say you're Penny. What are you saying in the huddle if you're up 10, 3:18
left? I'm up 10. Yeah, what I'm saying is, let's do what got us there. Let's play hard. But the key thing is, let's play smart. Let's play smart. So you don't want to be passive, though, because sometimes people get a lead and get passive. Or I watch high school ball here where they start stalling and then the kids get 3-4 turnovers. Well, the other team can see y'all not even trying to lay the ball up. So you still want to stay aggressive, but we can only give them one shot at the goal. We must get the first rebound. Everybody box out. We're not giving up any threes, and we're not turning the ball over. And we're going to make our free throws and get out of here, buddy.
So right now, if you were curious about foul trouble for the Tigers, P.J. Haggerty currently has 4 fouls. Nick Jordan has already fouled out. Dane Danger, who's currently not on the floor, he has 3 fouls. But really, that's about it. Kobe Rogers with 1. P.J. Carter, no fouls. Tyrese Hunter, no fouls. Musa, no fouls.
How many points do Haggerty have right now? Because I want to make a quick point.
So P.J. right now at the line has P.J. has 19 points, 5 of 13 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, 8 of 10 from the line.
So our backcourt is over 40 points. But what I want to say is that's how I imagine it. And the thing I like about this game for people who think P.J. forces it, sometimes when a guy is a star player, I don't like kids that like how Hunter is getting off. They just will take bad shots. I think he have allowed Hunter to get off and still be him. And it hadn't, you know, because sometimes it happens. You know, with top players, sometimes you might need to hit 8 for us to win. And some kids that's not about the team will still, oh, no, I don't want to win. Like, I'd rather us lose. And I feel like everybody has been locked in on one page.
To your point, PJ leads the team in assists, 5 assists.
Whoa.
No one else with more than 2. So, to your point, it's not just been, okay, I'm not hitting shots and this guy's going off. Let me see if I can get something going too. It's been, all right, let's get our other guys some looks. So right now, the UConn Huskies go to the line for 2. First is good. It's 79-68. Clock stopped with 2:55. Musa Cisse picks up his first foul of the contest. Second free throw is good, and it's now 79-69. So it's a 10-point lead. 2 minutes and 55 seconds left. And I think this really just comes back to a couple of things. It's like, take care of the basketball. And you know, at a certain point, you're probably going to have to hit your free throws.
No, you're right. Oh,
Tigers get into transition.
Oh, they can't do that.
They try to go for the lob, and you know it's coming this way.
I know it would have been great, but you don't. You make the simple plays right
and run
now.
Some clock.
And as a coach, I ain't going to lie, it's like it's a double-headed sword because if you do it, it's cool.
And there it is.
See, you can't do that. You can't, and I think a timeout coming. You can't do that. That has me a little nervous.
Liam McNeely hits the 3. It's 79-72. Tigers trying to work it against full-court pressure. They get it across the timeline. So there's 2:17 to play. Tigers trail by 7 points. Or bigger part, Tigers lead by 7 points. With 2:11, shot clock now down to 10. I think it's Hunter with the basketball. No, that's PJ. Floater no good in transition. This is where the Huskies become the Huskies.
Get back!
McNeely, you knew it. 3 goes in. It's now a 4-point game, 79-75. Tigers trying to get it in against UConn's press. It's a 13-4 run for UConn. And they've now cut the lead to 4 with 1:40 remaining, and the Tigers will take a timeout. Okay, now what are you saying in the huddle? Because that lead's gone from double digits. You're still up 2 possessions. I know this. I'd still rather be the Tigers than be UConn, but what's going on in the huddle?
So what I would say right now, Jeff, I'm glad I'm able to watch it from this seat today.
Yes.
This is where my maturity would have to kick in, that as I do as a coach, because – I kind of be mad right now, and I have to control. No, for real.
I know.
I'd be kind of mad, and would have been a minute timeout. The first 20 seconds, I'm probably still like, what the hell? And why are you? And so now I'm glad this is going to make me a better coach. So what I'm basically saying now is, guys, they have scored 2 wide open 3s. Yep. That's first and foremost, okay? Y'all have worked too hard to get to this point to give it away. Y'all deserve to win this game. Y'all have won this game in every facet of the game. You have a minute and 40 seconds to show the world, let's be disciplined as possible. Let's be as tough as possible. No threes, no turnovers.
I mean, I think it's sometimes when you get in these pressure situations, like, can you stay fundamentally sound? Can you make the smart play? Don't turn it over. Don't give the cheap basket. And I think the other big thing is, for the love of God, do not foul on threes.
Yes. And basketball is very a momentum sport, because even though people are saying they would rather be Memphis right now, if you look in both huddles that they have just showed us, UConn looks like they're more happier to be UConn. They look like they feel like they're winning or about to win, and they feel like they have the momentum. This is a big possession for Memphis basketball.
Minute 38, Tigers get set to inbound. Rogers, Haggerty, Carter, Hunter, Danger on the floor. Diarra, Caravan, Ross, McNeely, and Johnson on the floor for the Huskies. Ball is in the backcourt. up top, I believe it's Haggerty with the basketball. Tigers working action. Haggerty calls for a screen, goes to the rack,
goes up,
and he gets fouled. All right, that's a good possession. With a 1:23 on the clock, you got a guy going downhill with a step, gets to the rack. Okay, you don't get the bucket, but you do pick up the foul. So Haggerty will go to the line for two. 79-75 currently, as the Tigers are trying to pull off a win here in Maui with Haggerty at the line for two free throws. Minute 23 remaining. Tigers leading 79-75. First one is up and no good. All right. Hit the second one. Second one, then get a good defensive possession. Tigers lead 79-75. Haggerty coming up with the second free throw. Dribbles, fires, good. 80-75 with a minute 23 left. We're going to get some offense for defense. I believe Musa checks back in. I would presume that means Danger checks out. Indeed, that is what we see. Musa in, Danger out. Tigers showing full court pressure. UConn inbounds the ball. Tigers kind of back out of the pressure. They're just going to play straight man to man. Fires to the corner. Got a layup up and under. Okay, that was good offense. So it's a layup for UConn. It's now 80-77 with a minute 5 remaining. I think you're still in the possession, or you're still just, hey, get a good shot. And if you can score here, you make it really, really difficult for UConn. So I believe Hunter at the top. Now he gives it to Haggerty, who's working up top. 12 on the shot clock. Haggerty working one-on-one, goes to the lane, fires. Did a foul get called? Mm-hmm. A foul did get called. So Haggerty will go to the line for two. That felt big because you were able to run some clock, and now you're in a situation where as long as you can hit one, you make it a two-possession game. All right, when are you thinking about fouling up three? Let's see. What's kind of in your mind? What do you think when you foul up three? Are you a foul up three? Or you play it out?
No, I'm gonna play it out. I don't foul.
First is good.
But the last two possessions I have liked it. We have been very aggressive.
Yep.
And I feel like the fouls helped us because it looked like that UConn had upped the defense. And you make this next one. No threes. We stay in the game. Up, we can go 2-2 all day.
Up and good. 82-77, 41.2 left. UConn inbounds the basketball. Downhill, layup. No, ball loose. Backs out. Trying to kick out for a three. Long, no. Rebound goes to UConn. And I think there's going to be a foul on the floor. So a foul on the floor. I believe that will give UConn... Let's see, are they in the bonus? Yes, they're in the double bonus. So that will be two free throws with 24.2. But overall, not the worst case scenario. You did burn at least 17 seconds. You don't like when they score with the clock not moving. But at the same time, that burned nearly 17 seconds. And now you are in a tough spot, though, because that foul was called on P.J. Haggerty. That will be Haggerty's fifth foul. And so Diarra goes to the line, trailing by five. He has two free throws with 24.2 seconds remaining. A little bit more fun here than on the bench, I think. Although these are the games that are just electric. All right, so Diarra to the line for two. With 24.2 seconds remaining. Tigers currently leading by five. First free throw for Diarra. Good. Rattles at home. It's now a four-point game, 82-79. Obviously, the other point, with there only being 24.2, as long as the Tigers can get it inbounded, UConn's going to have to foul. All right, so Diarra to the line, trailing by four to make it a one-possession game. Free throw up, good. 24.2, I don't think we had any subs, so they're going to inbound straight up. Get the ball in bounds. Step one. Running the baseline. Now trapped in the corner. They get it out of the trap. Stays in the trap. Now ball tipped. And it is loose. And that's going to be 10 seconds. No, he throws it away to avoid the 10 seconds.
Oh, my bad.
And the ball goes out of bounds. Was it tipped by anyone? So UConn will have the basketball. It goes out of bounds. It will be UConn's basketball. They trail 82-79. Are you thinking about fouling if you're Penny?
I don't do that. I don't do that because, one, it's still 13 seconds, so unless you just want to constantly outplay it that long. With college kids, you got to understand, too, you don't want to foul while somebody's shooting, too, because that's what the other coach usually say.
Yeah.
If they find a team to do that, they let the ref know we're shooting, too.
So they put a little bit more time back on, 14.2. It was one of those situations where I don't think it was the wrong play. It was poor execution. They had the outlet pass up the floor. There's two guys there. He just threw it too high.
Mm-hmm.
But there were two guys there, and there was no defenders. And so, like, it's one of those ones where I don't think the play was not bad. It was just the execution was bad.
Yeah, and it really would have been super good if the tip didn't happen.
Yeah.
That lets you know the guards are shorter, and they're trying to throw.
And he's also falling out of bounds. This isn't like standing flat-footed, just making a crisp pass. He was trying to save the ball from going out of bounds and chunk it down the floor.
Yeah.
Now, the good thing is, because where the ball goes out of bounds, they've still got to get it up the floor.
Yeah, to be on the side. Like
correct.
Three-fourths within the court.
Are we going to get some dueling timeouts? So Memphis has one remaining. So if they did want to take a timeout to see how UConn plays it. There's no way UConn's thinking about a quick two, is it?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Because if you take a three and you miss the game, it's over. If Memphis get the rebound. So then you're going to foul, they're going to at least hit one free throw. So two saves you some time if you got an easy two.
All right, 14-42. Oh, I guess they did say they advanced the they're giving the ball in the front court. I thought they'd have to get it all the way back where it went out.
There's some new rules that you can, if you call timeout within.
All right, 13.2.
Just switch on everything. Yeah, just switch.
Diarra with the basketball.
They're taking a lot of time out right now. You got to shoot a three. I'll give them the two. I would.
Three up, three good with 1.1. And now we got a tie basketball game. They're going to have to figure out how much time to put on the clock. So at the minimum, UConn has tied this up at 82-82. And they're going nuts. 82-82. The three was good by Solo Ball. And that was honestly, I'm with you. At that point, DR had wasted so much time. I think it was under 5 seconds. Let him just go get the layup. Dare him to take it. Instead, he makes the decision as we see it now. Taking a lot of time.
I think they tried to give it to him, though.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, he did. He was willing to let it happen, and then Ball hits the big shot from the three.
He played for Team Mello. We played him too last year. Whoa.
So let's see where the clock should be. Goes in 1.1, maybe?
I wonder if we could do the same advance.
Did we add advancing the ball in college basketball? I mean, I'm for it, but I didn't know. Did we add that?
See, I think under, I'm not sure. I got to look at new rules. I know we in EYBL, they kind of do it where, like, you can advance because they want to make it high level. What? They took some time off.
No, so they have point. Well, they had it showing zeros. There was no way that it was going to be zeros. So it's 0.9. You can at least get a shot off. But if the ball is going to be underneath, the other thing you got to think is if you can't advance it but it's underneath, you got to at least make sure the ball gets in bounds and somebody touches it because otherwise UConn can get it underneath the goal.
Let's do it, Memphis. Memphis fans, I know y'all are on Twitter and you're on the Facebook group. We should be positive right now. Nobody should be saying anything about players coaching this
season. Or maybe no field goals in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Don't say that.
Yeah, don't say no field goals in the last 4 minutes.
Because I think UConn went 4 minutes without at one point.
Yeah,
I think you were saying.
They most certainly did. So what they put 1.2 back on the clock.
And we can't
imagine. It is gonna at least be underneath the goal. You can move. You can run the baseline, but the key is do not turn it over underneath the basket. So Memphis is taking a timeout. They get it in, and a shot may count. That wasn't a bad effort from three quarters court, but it's no good, and we will go to overtime. So we have gone 40 minutes between the Tigers and the Huskies, and we have not established who a winner is yet. We head to overtime, 82-82. We got to take a quick break. We'll get Herd's thoughts on what we've seen. I doubt we'll see the end of overtime while we're here on air, but we'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd. So we're now 2.5 minutes into overtime. UConn leads 87-86. I guess for today's don't tell the story, tell your story, I'll just go with UConn allowing the Tigers to go up 12. We've had a melee. I have no idea what's happening. We've had a push and shove. Danny Hurley gets in the middle of the huddle. We had a get back. Teams enter the floor. They got to call a tech, right?
Yeah, and Hurley's way down at Memphis bench, and he's saying quite a few words to people. Whoa.
I have no idea what they're going to actually call. All right, my man, this was fun.
We got to stay on with Gabe, man. We got to finish this game.
I got date night. I'm under pressure here. All right, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours,
same
my
to
man.
You. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Want to thank all of you for listening. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.